Bibles, I hope you have, said Yoda. And please turn there with me in your Bible or your digital device, whatever it may be, to Ephesians chapter 6. We are now moving on in the family that Paul addresses in Ephesians 5 and 6. And this morning we're going to talk about children and two children, in a sense. Our children are not in here with us, but parents, grandparents, you are to take this message to them. Next week we will address parents more specifically. So we are going to read this morning Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. But to honor God and His Word, would you please stand as we read in our Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, the Word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And God's people said, Amen. Thanks. Please be seated. Mark Twain is always good for a quote, and this is a famous quote of his. He said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Who has not lived that one who is 21 or older? But our goal is to avoid that gap. Our goal should be, as a church and as Christian parents, that there not be this obligatory time in one's life of rebellion called the teenage years. It doesn't have to be that way. But rather, what the Scriptures teach is that all children should obey and honor their parents, regardless of age, whether it's 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, or 19. Parents should honor and obey their, or children should honor and obey their parents, rather. So, Spirit-filled kids, is that even an option? Is that a possibility for us? Is it a possibility for our kids to be Spirit-filled? Because this is what Paul is talking about. If we go back to the earlier portion of Ephesians 5, Paul said, to walk in a worthy manner. And he said, I want you to walk, learn how to walk wisely. And the wise walk is the Spirit-filled walk. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of Christ our Lord to God the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. The one who is wise, the wise wife, is one who is filled with the Spirit. The only way that you can fulfill that call to submit to your husband in a godly way is to be filled with the Spirit. It's part of your walk with God. Wives to your husband as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How on earth can I as a husband or you as men love your wives as Christ loved the church without His help? You can't. We must do this with the power of the Holy Spirit as we are walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. And now he goes on with the family. He said, wives, husbands, he's going to go children, fathers, and then he's going to go slaves and masters. We'll talk about that in a few weeks, slavery in the time of Christ and in the time of Paul. But at this point, most households would have had some sort of servants in them. But the point is this, wives, husbands, children, parents, slaves and masters in a Christian household, we must all be filled with the Spirit. Everyone must be filled with the Spirit, including children. We kind of put them aside and say, well, this is adult stuff, this being filled with the Spirit. Really? Who's he addressing here? Where were the children when he wrote this? These churches, the church at Ephesus and the surrounding churches where this letter was read, The whole families would gather together, and these children were listening to everything that Paul was writing to the church. And he would stop and address the wives. He stopped and addressed the husbands. And then he said, okay, kids, I want you to listen up here, because I have a word from the Lord for you about how you walk in a wise way by being filled with the Spirit. Children, obey your parents. Children are to obey their parents. That is the call here. He addresses them throughout the book. He assumes, and we can assume, that as Paul was reading all this heavy theology in chapters 1, 2, and 3, the children were right there listening and soaking up all of the teaching of the book of Ephesians. He just particularly and happens to address them specifically in chapter 6. And he addresses those who are under the authority of their parents. Children are to obey their parents. With this simple verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's a good memory verse for kids. Many of you have had your children memorize this verse, and it is actually a very good one to hide in their heart, to learn early on in life that they are to obey their parents. So children that he's talking about here are singled out. And the word for children here is a word that doesn't really refer to age, because, for instance, in chapter 5, verse 1, he said, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. He said in chapter 5, verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so this word children is a word that means, it's an enduring term that denotes a close relationship. I might say, well, some of you are my kids, for instance. I say that of our staff sometimes. Good morning, kids. How are you doing? And we use that word children or child as an endearing term that denotes this closeness of relationship. But here, he is definitely talking about children in the throes of child rearing, those who are dependent upon their parents, those who are being reared in a Christian home, and these are the ones who have, it just implies this dependent relationship. He's not talking to infants because they couldn't understand it, and he's not talking to adults because he says, obey your parents in the Lord, and he's talking about those children who are in the home, dependent upon their children, and whose parents are raising them and teaching them and leading them what is right. So these are children who are in the process of learning and growing. How old do you think these children are? Number one, they're old enough to understand these words. Number two, they're old enough to understand the gospel and believe it. And number three, they're old enough to make a decision to obey. So they're old enough to understand what is being said, they're old enough to believe in Christ, and they're old enough to obey their parents and obey the gospel. So these children are being encouraged with this letter to walk with God alongside of the adults. It's kind of, we probably should have had all of our kids in here this morning, right? Because it makes sense. He's addressing kids, and he is addressing the children. They're going to be getting this message as well. But parents, it's your responsibility then to take this message and to teach that to them. But it would probably have been better to have them in here with us this morning, so they could understand this instruction, and so we could assume that they were being instructed in all the other points of Paul's letter in the book of Ephesians. And then he talks to the parents. Notice he says parents, plural, moms and dads. Children are told to obey both parents, even though he's going to address the fathers in verse 4. We'll look at that next week. But this assumes a lot from our study of marriage, doesn't it? It assumes equal authority of the husband and the wife, of the mother and the father. And so it should be in marriage that the two become one flesh, and they are a unit of parents, plural. And so children are to obey both mother and father, because mother and father both have the authority, not just one or the other. So one thing that is not apparent here, actually is not present here, we have talked about Christ and the church and how Christ and the church is the ultimate, and marriage is a picture of that. He's done with that illustration. He's done with that analogy because it's not present here. That is the only relationship that describes Christ in the church is marriage. It's not a parent and a child. He's done with that analogy. But this does show how important it is for the two to become one flesh. Marriage is that only relationship where that comparison is made. So children are to obey their parents. And that means, mom and dad, marriage is the priority relationship in your family. Mom and dad is, not the children. We have that upside down in our culture sometimes. Children are to obey their parents, not parents are to obey their children. And that often happens. Dad, I want to play soccer. Okay, honey, you can play soccer. Dad, I don't want to play soccer anymore. Okay, honey, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And parents are oftentimes led by their children because we have this attitude in our society, in our culture right now, that we live for our kids. And we do everything for our kids. Really? Kids are important, and obviously they're important because they're addressed here in the scriptures. They're addressed here in the church at Ephesus. Yes, they are important, but your ultimate responsibility is your relationship with God, and parents, the ultimate relationship in the family is mom and dad. Because when mom and dad are okay, guess who's going to be okay? Your kids are going to be okay. When mom and dad are not okay, kids know that, and they're not going to be okay. So they find their security, they find their hope and their trust in the Lord. When there are two, a mom and a dad who love each other and are walking with God, and they demonstrate that by saying no once in a while, that's not good for you. You need to follow through on your commitment. But we do not obey our children. You know what the best model for children is in obedience? Mom and dad. Christian parents who are obedient to the Lord. That worship and Christ and walking with God is the number one thing in their life. That the husband's, dad's number one relationship is Christ. Number two is his mom, and he's loving her as Christ loved the church. And she's showing that honor and respect to her husband. And when children see that, they find security and they know that everything is going to be okay. But they learn obedience from us. If we disobey the law, if we disobey God's law, if we demonstrate rebellion in our own lives, guess what children are going to pick up? That very thing. Children, obey your parents. This, the idea of obedience is, we don't need to talk about the Greek word. It just means obey. Do as you're told. Follow what the teaching that has been given to you. It is actually a compound word that means to hear something. And so in the biblical sense, to hear is to listen, to is to understand, is to obey. When you hear the word of God, when you hear that truth, it is your responsibility to obey it. So obedience to the authority of parents is submission to authority. And it's spoken here as obeying your parents. Why do children need to be told to obey? Asked that question about husbands a few weeks ago. Why are husbands told to obey or to love their wives? Why do we have to be told to love our wives? Why do children need to be told to obey? Because they must learn it. Disobedience comes naturally. Obedience does not come naturally. You don't need to teach your child disobedience. Anybody ever have to teach your child how to disobey? It's in their heart. He already knows it. And the world system, this is what we're working against, the world system teaches them further. It's teaching them how to disobey. It's teaching them when to disobey. It is teaching them how to get away with it. The world system is always training them in disobedience. I'll never forget when, as a young, brand new father, my son was about 1 year old, and we were still in seminary in Texas, and I was studying, and my son came up to me and grabbed my hand, and in his little one-year-old way, with the little language that he had, he was saying he wanted a drink, please. And so I was busy, but he kept saying, drink, please, and grabbed my hand, and so I walked into the kitchen with him, and he looked up at me, and he said, "Cookie." "You little sinner." And I knew he came by it naturally. I did not have to teach him that. You don't have to teach a child to disobey. You don't have to teach a child to sin. It is just who we are. It's part of depravity. So here are a couple of lessons before, just from the very first part here before we go on. This is important. Children are part of our church family. And they must be included in the church life. It's not just this thing. We have them in other rooms and other times. They are part of the church family because they are addressed here as part of the church family by the Apostle Paul to this church and the other churches. They assumed that the kids were going to be right there listening to God's word. Children are part of our church family. It's not just us adults and the kids can't understand that. They are an integral part of who we are, the body of Christ, and should be in our worship services. Let me tell you this, parents with small kids. We have two services, and we have Sunday school during both services. And here is a novel idea. Worship together. Teach your kids how to worship. The reason we have Sunday school and during a worship service, the purpose for that is not so that your kids can go to Sunday school and you can go to worship, because worship is for all of us. And it might take 2 hours. It might take first service and second service to get that done. But my encouragement is for you to worship with your children, because they need to worship God. And worshiping is what we do as the big church, as the entire family together, grandparents, mothers and fathers, older women, younger women, children, babies. We should all be in the same room worshiping God as much as possible. Second of all, don't underestimate your child's ability to understand spiritual things. Children are special in the eyes of God. Think about Jesus. When they wanted to bring the kids to Jesus, and his disciples are saying, "Keep those kids away. This is adult stuff. This is spiritual matters. They can't understand this." He said, wait a minute. Bring them here. Why would you hinder the children from coming to me?" And he took them into his arms, and he blessed them, and he touched them, and he put them on his lap, and he taught them, because children are special in God's eyes. They are unique, and he loves them, and we cannot sell them short. They are able to understand more than you think. I cannot tell you how many times over the years that a child has come up to me, a grade schooler has come up to me after a worship service, they've been sitting here, handing me a piece of paper with drawings on it and notes. Sometimes it's just pictures, but it tells the story of the sermon. And we think, "Oh, they can't understand this stuff." Baloney. They can understand this stuff. I've seen it over and over and over again. We sell them short and think that, well, they need to have everything put on the lower shelf, the cookies on the lower shelf. Yes, it's important to have instruction that is age appropriate, but you know what? We need to stretch the bar. We need to raise the bar. We want them to understand greater things and not always just understand the simple things. I have seen that so many, many times, and it just blows me away every time it happens. A young girl, a young boy hands me a piece of paper, and I'll go, "Are you kidding me? You got all of that from the sermon, the big boy sermon? Wow, that's amazing." The point is, do we believe in the power of God's word? Do we believe that when the word of God is read and preached and taught, that it is, all scripture is inspired by God and powerful for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, regardless of the age? Of course it is. Children are able to understand God's word more than you would think. Okay, enough of my hobby horse here. He goes on to give four reasons. Four reasons why children should obey their parents. Four reasons. And the first reason is this. Obedience is part of a child's walk with God. We've been saying that. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Obey your parents in the Lord. These children that he's reading this to, they could understand that he's saying, "Children, this is part of your walk with God. To obey your parents is to obey God. To obey God is to obey your parents. You can understand this, and it is part of their walk with God. So the call to obedience is based upon faith. It is based upon their faith in Christ. And so, pardon me, the obedience of Christian children to their parents is part of their own submission to Christ in their life. So in the Lord indicates that their obedience is part of this, their own discipleship. And it's not just given, obey your parents because they're your parents. He doesn't say that. He says you obey your parents. It's part of your walk with God. It's part of being filled with the Spirit. It's part of living for Christ, and children are able to do that. A child's ultimate obedience is to Christ, and if they're obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, then they will obey their parents. Let's get first things first. We want to get it the other way around. You need to learn to obey me. And then we got to have the spiritual thing kind of along the side here. No, number one, teach your children to obey Christ. They will naturally obey you because it is the natural order of things then. So children must be filled with the Spirit in order to obey. It's like we said at the beginning, how can husbands love their wives? How can wives submit to their husbands? How can a child obey his parents? How can a father raise his child properly without the help of God's Holy Spirit? It is, children must be filled with the Spirit if they are going to obey their parents, and they will. And the children of Ephesus could understand this. So here are a couple of lessons here. Children must be evangelized, and children must be discipled. And although evangelism and discipleship are the mission of the church, parents have the primary responsibility to evangelize their children and to disciple them. It's not just, I'm going to drop you off and send you to Sunday school, and that's where you're going to be evangelized, and that's where you're going to be discipled. No, guess whose responsibility it is? Mom and Dad, it's yours. To pray for them, to teach them, to tell them the gospel, to show them the gospel in your life. And once they come to Christ, to teach them how to obey, to teach them to grow, how to read their Bibles and to worship God. It's your responsibility to lead them in that. It is not the Sunday school or the churches. So we must evangelize our children, and we need to be careful about this. Many Christian parents, unfortunately, mistakenly assume that their child asked Jesus into their heart, so they're saved. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not ask Jesus into your heart. The gospel is Christ died for your sins. You're a sinner. And sin will keep you from heaven and God forever, so you must repent of your sin and place your trust in Jesus Christ. And a child is able to understand that and believe that, but that's the gospel. And adult parents, I think it's time for some of you to realize that your adult kids are not saved. But they said a prayer when they were in vacation Bible school, but they've never lived it. A child has to make that decision to trust in Christ as Savior. And when that happens, they are born again. Remember, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God made you alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And there is change in our life, because genuine conversion is when God miraculously brings a person from spiritual death to eternal life. And when there is life, there is fruit. I've made this mistake with my own kids, thinking they're pastor's kids, and they said a prayer when they were young, so they must be saved. But when you realize that maybe your children are not saved, it changes the way you pray for them. It changes the way you talk to them. Instead of saying, well, I know you're a Christian, but you're just away from the Lord. Maybe not. Maybe they don't know the Lord. And I know that's hard for some of you to hear, but what's at stake here? What's at stake here is the eternal salvation of your children, and not just pride. Yeah, all my kids are saved. Two of them are not walking with the Lord, or whatever it is you want to say. Not walking with the Lord, or maybe they don't know the Lord. Also, we must remember this. Being saved does not guarantee 100% obedience, right? We just because your children are saved does not mean they're not going to rebel from time to time. That does not mean that they will just be the perfect kids. That's not the case here. But in some cases, maybe the reason that they don't obey is that they are not regenerate, and so we must take that into account. So, the first reason that a child is to obey his parents, because it's part of their Christian life, it's part of being filled with the Spirit, it's part of their walk with God. The second reason that a child should be obedient to their parents is because obedience is the right thing to do. It's simply right. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. It's obviously right. It's part of an orderly family. It's part of an orderly church. It's part of an orderly society. And when it is absent, that is, children obeying their parents, there is moral breakdown in our society, in our churches, in our families. In other words, it's just patently obvious that a child should obey his or her parents. That's the way it is in all cultures, the way it has always been. It's natural law, if you will. All societies and all cultures would agree on a number of things. You don't kill people. You don't steal from people. You don't lie. You don't disobey your parents. All cultures understand that because they're created in the image of God, and it is this argument that something is stamped on us about what is right and what is proper behavior. And so obedience is naturally right, but children will naturally do what is wrong. It's called disobedience. And disobedience is a sign of depravity. And depravity means that we naturally do what is wrong instead of what is right. Romans 1, probably one of the 28 through 32, one of the key passages that talks about the depravity of man, says this: "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, emphasis added, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them." It comes naturally to all children, and that's what we're up against. We're up against depraved hearts. We're up against the spiritually dead hearts, and the only thing that can change that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. When a child is born again, and learning obedience up to that point can help them to the gospel, where they recognize, "I can't do this, I'm a sinner, and I need you, God." But it is part of depravity. And so, that's what we're up against. The point, however, here is this. Like he says in this passage, "And although they know the ordinance of God," they know it's right. It's obvious. Everybody knows that a child should obey his parent, but they do the opposite. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is the right thing to do. So two reasons so far for obedience to parents are these: part of your walk with God, part of being filled with the Spirit. And second of all, it's just the right thing to do. It is right. The third reason that children should obey their parents is that obedience is commanded by God Himself. Obedience is commanded by God. Verse 2 says, "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with the promise. Paul introduces the fifth commandment from Exodus 20 here. The fifth commandment, and he doesn't say, as it says in the book of Exodus, or as the fifth commandment says, he just introduces it. He says, "Children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother," and he quotes Exodus 20, 12, 15, whatever it is. He quotes the passage, assuming that they were familiar with this. In fact, this could have been a memory verse for those children in Ephesus. Perhaps they had memorized this verse, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are divided into two tables, and they basically mirror this, the greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so they kind of mirror that. The first four commandments deal with loving God. You shall have no other gods before him. Don't make any graven images. Don't take his name in vain. And keep the Sabbath. The next six have to do with loving your neighbor as yourself. Honor your father and mother. Don't kill people. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. And don't covet which does not belong to you. So this is the beginning of the second table of the law. And so the third reason is that God commands obedience. Now, when he says honor your father and mother, he doesn't say obey your father and mother. He says honor. He uses a different word here, doesn't he? And the word honor means to show respect and deference to another person. So obedience is part of honor. You can honor your parents in many ways, and obedience is a subset of honoring your parents. In fact, interestingly, the word for honor in the Hebrew text in Exodus 20 is the word glory, kavod. We've talked about that word before. It means heaviness. Someone who has glory is someone who is significant in a community, the mayor, the governor, whoever it may be. And they have this significance and weightiness about them. And so when we say we're glorifying God, we're recognizing his great weightiness and significance above all other beings. And so for a child to honor his or her parents is saying, recognizing the significance of your parents, the weightiness of your parents, that God has placed them above you. Therefore, respect them, follow them, be kind to them, love them, obey them. In fact, Exodus 20, it's verse 12, says this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives to you. Exodus 20, 12. Honor your father and mother, and there's a purpose, so that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives to you. And remember, the land that they're talking about is the land of Israel, and that's important to understand what Paul's talking about. But I want you to notice, he says, he does not address children in the fifth commandment. He doesn't say, children, honor your father and mother. He says, all of you, honor your father and mother. So honoring our parents is not something that we leave behind when we walk out the door and go to college or get a job or join the military or get married. Honoring our parents is a lifelong call. It's a command that sticks with us for all of our lives. It's our responsibility to continue to respect and give honor and recognize the significance of our parents. Whether you like them or not, or agree with them or not, whether they are saved or not, it doesn't change this command. We have a responsibility, each and every one of us, to honor our parents. And then the fourth reason children are to obey is that obedience is always blessed by God. Always. God always blesses obedience. Verses 2 and 3 say, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. He words it a little bit different from the Hebrew text. But he says this command to honor your father and mother is the first commandment with a promise. And that's kind of hard to understand because the second command in the Ten Commandments says don't make any graven images or worship any idols because God will visit his punishment on those who hate him, but he will bless those on the generations to follow. So there's a promise there. So most scholars think that what he's talking about is this is probably the first commandment that children learned with a promise. And it is also the first command of the second table of the law with a promise as well. Be that as it may, what is the promise? So that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. God blesses you for honoring and obeying your parents. It will enhance your life. It will make your life better. It will go well with you. That it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And though this speaks of a promise, we know that it is more generally speaking because, let's face it, we have all known godly children whose lives have been cut short, right? But there are other promises in the New Testament too. Ask anything in my name and I will do it. And so that is a promise that if it is God's will, of course he will do it in his name. And so basically what he's saying here is this is not a carte blanche promise that you obey your parents always and everything's always going to go well for you and you're going to live to be 100 years old. God may have a different plan for your life. But the point is this. If you are obeying your parents, you are removing a whole myriad of opportunities for disaster in your life. Why did your mom tell you not to run with scissors, right? You might put your eye out. You might hurt yourself. And it's true. Well, what does mom know? Mom knows. This is not an absolute promise because godly children often die untimely deaths, but the original promise must be looked at in the context, which was the promise for the Israelites to go into the land, okay, wasn't it? That the Israelites are going to be in the land for a long time. So we can take this as it's a first commandment with promise, and Paul gives it to us in this sense that it is generally going to bless your life if you follow this command to obey your parents. So generally, your life will go better as a child. You will avoid danger. You'll be healthier, be more prosperous. And the reason ultimately is God is going to bless one's life. Many of us know that the opposite of this is true as well. When I was a teenager, I disobeyed my mother who was raising me. It did not go well for me. Not just her discipline, but God's. It did not go well. I could have died an untimely death many times over, believe me. But God overrode that. God had a plan. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for my mother, and I'm thankful for her discipline, but many times we learn this by negative example as well. And we've all seen children who've grown up in Christian homes who have genuine hearts for the Lord, who have walked with Him, and God has blessed their lives in wonderful ways. But rebellion against parents, we must see here, is rebellion against God, isn't it? Because the command is obey God to honor your parents. And if a child is not honoring their parents, then they're dishonoring their parents. And if they're dishonoring their parents, they're dishonoring God Himself because they're not walking with Him. If we're rebellious and disrespectful toward our parents, probably we'll be rebellious and disrespectful toward God and other authority as well. It's often seen all as a package deal. But God is about blessings. So here are some final lessons. Obedience must be from the heart. Honoring and obeying is not some mindless, passive-aggressive obedience. I'm just going to do this because I have to. Or I'm going to obey Dad right now so I don't get into trouble, so that at 11 o'clock I can sneak out of the house. This obedience that Paul is talking about and the Scripture's talking about is an attitude of honor and respect for authority and for your parents. And therefore, it is always a heart issue. Anybody can obey just because. But to do it with the proper attitude and a heart for the Lord and a heart for your parents' standing that God has placed over you is two different things. Honoring parents is obeying them, and disobedience is dishonoring them. Second lesson, just to drive this home, God will supernaturally enhance the life of a child who honors his or her parents. He promises it. God is a God of blessing, and He wants our children's lives to be blessed, and He wants their lives to be enhanced. He wants it to go well for them. He wants them to live long on the earth. He wants them to prosper. And He does that, understanding that this is all spiritual, and when we walk with God, God blesses those who obey Him. It's true for adults as well as for children. And our last lesson is this, as we've been saying throughout, to honor and obey your parents must live the Spirit-filled life. To honor and obey parents, a child must live this Spirit-filled life. In other words, simply walk with God. There's no spiritual secret. There's no formula. No, you got to learn all these things and go through all this training. Just teach your children to walk with God. Children, just walk with God. Just live for Him. Do it for Him and be filled with the Spirit. Live that Spirit-filled, directed life, and the result will be honor and obedience. That's true for us as well, adults. If we want God's blessings, we obey our Father. And the only way we can obey our Father in heaven is through His Spirit. And we must do so with glad and willing hearts, with an attitude of respect and love. And He will bless our lives as well. Thank you, Father, for timely words for children and for us as adults. We are your children. And we see ourselves in this passage as we talk about youngsters. We know that it is directed to us as well. So would you allow us to live lives of obedience? And Lord, may we raise children in our families and in our church who, first and foremost, live by the power of your Spirit, honor you, bring glory to you, and do so by honoring and obeying their parents and all authority. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you please stand? Excuse me. As we close for the final song.
Children, you delight.
That is the gospel. Christ takes our sins and throws them into the deepest sea, and he will remember them no more. Which means for those of us who are imperfect parents, where there is regret, there is grace. For children who have rebelled, where there is regret, there is grace. And God makes us all whole in him. For that, we are grateful and we are thankful. And I hope that you will take this truth and teach your children and your grandkids and your nieces and nephews truths of obedience. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being here today. Would you go with us with your grace and your power now and bring honor to yourself. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.